please. Luke chapter 22. Once again, we look into the Word of the Most High to view the classroom scene. Christ our Lord is teaching His disciples the things of Himself, the things of Christ, the things of heaven, so as to prepare them for the journey that was yet before them. Our Lord was teaching many things to them, yet they still didn't understand the complete picture. Folks, you and I have seen many things in God's Word and have come to an understanding in many things, but we do not see the complete picture yet either. It won't be till the Lord removes us out of this world where we see everything for what it is. See the truth and the glory that goes to our Savior in all things. We were specifically looking at the Apostle Peter, leading up to his time when he wrote his two apostles. Our studies are titled Simon Peter, an Apostle of Christ. Our Lord declares that the Holy Spirit will come and bring the things of Christ to remembrance to them after He has gone, after Christ has gone. The Holy Ghost would fall on them and they would have an understanding of what had been taught to them. I ask and pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would fall on us this day and reveal the truths of God's Word to our hearts. Last week we took a look at the first two verses of chapter 22 and we considered the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover. We went into some other scripture and we saw how Christ fulfilled all of that. Christ fulfilled all of the ordinances of the Old Testament. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to what Christ would do. And when He came to this world, when God was made flesh, He fulfilled it perfectly. And that includes the ransom for His people. Christ is our Passover. He is the sacrificial lamb of the Passover. His blood is on our doorpost, the door of our hearts, the door of our souls. The angel of death has passed us by, for His own blood has covered our sins. We took a moment, we considered how our great God fulfilled all that was needed for salvation. When Jonah came forth and said, "Salvation is of the Lord," he meant that very thing. Salvation is of the Lord. Done. If you try to add any of your works to the grace of God, you have destroyed grace. Grace means unmerited favor. Either the Lord has done it all or nothing has been done. Today we take a look at a subject that most professing Christians have no desire to consider, yet it is a truth that continues to glorify our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Read verses 3 through 6 with me of Luke chapter 2. "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the twelve. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and the captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude." Judas, surnamed Iscariot, the son of perdition, the betrayer. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs 16, a verse that we were looking at in Friday night's Bible study. This will actually be part of my message for the coming services to follow after our Bible study. Our God is either sovereign of all that is, or He's not God at all. Scriptures declare Him to be God of all that is, all that was, and all of what shall be. Every detail is in our Lord's hands. Every notch, every dot, every tittle is His to do with as He sees fit. Does the word not declare His knowledge of every hair on our head? If God knows every hair on the head of this head, if He works all things out according to His purpose and will, I mean, He's also the God of our will. Everything created was by Him and for Him, and He does not seek the counsel of man and how it goes. This one who betrayed the Lord of glory is no more than any of you and I. He's a pot created by the potter. He's a vessel who was formed in the belly of his mother, just as you and I were. He's a sinner, just as you and I are. Any one of us could do what this one has done. In fact, many of us have done so already. Money, wealth, self-satisfaction, self-gratification was my part until the Lord of glory arrested my soul. Was this not the case with you? Read with me, if you would, verse 4 of Proverbs 16. This is the word of God, folks. This is not a man's interpretation. This is not what I think of God's word. This is His word. The Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Was not Pharaoh raised up to show God's power to the world? Was not the heart of Pharaoh hardened by God Almighty Himself? Yes, it says both. It says God hardened it and it says Pharaoh hardened it. All God has to do is remove His restraining, gracious hand from the heart of man, and the heart of man will turn to what it is, stone. It is by His grace that we are today what we are. Children of God, following and believing the Lord Jesus Christ for who He is. We take this book, we read this book, and a lot of it we don't understand, I do not deny. But I believe every word in this book because I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it's the Word of truth. And that very point that I believe, and if you believe also, that very point that you believe is a gift of God. It's not something that we decided to start doing one day. We didn't just decide that we were going to, you know what, I'm going to stop doing all the foolish things that I've been doing all my life and I'm going to start doing the smart things. No. God had to come to each and every one of us and arrest us. It's called the new birth. It's called to be born again. The God of all creation is God of all creation, period. Everything that has been and will be are for His purpose, including the wicked, as it says, in the day of evil. This one who betrayed God was spoken of long before He was ever formed in His mother's womb. Turn to the Psalms, if you would, back just a few pages to the 41st Psalm. Psalms number 41. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend. Folks, Judas sat with Christ. Judas preached Christ. Judas stood with the 12 apostles. He was chosen by Christ as one of the apostles. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now turn, if you will, over to John chapter 13. We're going to look at a little scripture here this morning. It's always a good way to study God's Word, look at as much scripture as we can. Are you with me in John chapter 13? Read with me if you would, beginning at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, and Jesus, knowing that the Father hath given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Now jump over to verse 18, if you would, please. So we see that the Lord had finished the feast. And he went about next describing, John went about describing how the Lord got down as a servant and washed the feet of his disciples. He washed the feet of all his disciples, yet one was still unclean. You know, we've spoken of this before, but the devil couldn't do anything to Job, could he? The devil is God's devil and he's on a chain. He can only do what God will allow him to do. The devil entered Judas of Iscariot because God allowed that to happen even in the day of evil. Now, verse 18, I speak not of you all, speaking of those men that were clean. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Our Lord is clearly revealing this very thing to him, to his disciples, to Peter, to all of those that are sitting at the table. And he says in verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Excuse me. And when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. So we see the fulfillment of prophecy right here in John chapter 13. The very prophecy that was spoken of in Psalms. This one who is chosen unto a vessel of destruction, a vessel of dishonor. Folks, I tell you here this morning, this could be right where you and I could be this very moment, if it were not for the love of God for his people. If it were not for the mercy of God for his people. If it were not for the grace of God for his chosen people. God declares it would have been better for this one if he had never been born. Take that to heart. Why, John? Why should I be so interested in this? As a child of God, we come to the realization that this could be us. If it were not for God's grace and his love to you and I, we could be walking that very same path. The only reason we're here this morning, the only reason that we come to the Word of God and study, is because we want to hear more about the grace and mercy our Lord has for us. We see the sin in our own flesh and our spirit cries out, Lord, show me thy mercy. Lord, show me thy grace. This world around us is falling apart. It's cursed. It's cursed because of sin.
Yet we have a hope. We have a hope that we can take home, that we can take to the bank, that we can be sure of. And it's the hope that our Lord and Savior has done it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. God declares it would have been better for this one if he had never been born, yet he has a vessel. He has vessels chosen unto honor. He has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and the chosen are loved by him. Turn over to the 17th chapter of John, if you would, please. John chapter 17, I heard one declare the other day about the Lord's Prayer. And of course they went to where the Lord gave an example, teaching his disciples how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. This is the Lord's Prayer. Look at verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. He's praying to the Father. As thou, in verse 2, as thou hast given him power, speaking of the Son, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Folks, this is no interpretation of men here. This is plain and simple, right before our very eyes. Yet the world will not believe this, and here's why: because they have not been called out of darkness. You and I did not believe these words until you and I were called out of darkness and given the gift of faith. I pray for them, he says, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, in verse 10, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. This one who is called the son of perdition, this one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, was meant to be, just as all things are meant to be. Either you believe in a sovereign God or you don't believe in any God at all. Oh, wait a minute, John. We believe in a Jesus. We believe he's God. We believe this. We believe that. Those are all things of man's imagination unless it comes from this word right here. And it comes from all of this word. I got to be careful not to go into my next message too quickly already. This one was purposed, just as it were, for those who nailed him to the cross. You know all the people who cried out, "Give us Barnabas, crucify him, crucify the Lord Jesus Christ." Those people, that would have been you and I if we'd have been in that very same situation if it was God's purpose. Those who nailed him to the cross, they were purposed that the blood of our Creator would be spilt in our stead. Cheryl pointed out Friday night's Bible study, the very wood that was used for the cross was put in place by God himself and raised up to be cut and hewed to be a cross. Those who have been gifted the gift of faith, those who believe, know this is true, for God has said it to be so. And we believe God. Don Fortner wrote in his book, Going Home. He said, you might ask me, how can I be so sure? How can I be so confident that I'm one of the elect? And his answer was simply this. I believe God. I'm not looking for anything in me. I'm looking for what's in him. And thus he has said, whosoever believeth in me shall never perish. I believe God. And I believe God is the one who's given me that gift to believe. Those who have been given that very gift know these things to be true. How can we know we are the elect? Do you believe God? Not just part of his word, but all of his word. So let us close this morning's study with one more look at God's word. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 13 with me? Pardon me. I was blowing the parking lot this morning and all that green stuff that's out there on the ground. Whew, I wasn't paying any attention. I should have been wearing a mask and I wasn't. I'm a stubborn old fool, you know that? I should have known better. I got all that green stuff in my lungs this morning. Are you with me in Matthew 13? Now, this scripture that we're about to look at does not specifically speak of Judas, but it is an application to you and I in this very time. Look at verses 24 of Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. We're looking at Judas of Iscariot. A man who worshipped right alongside of 11 other men, saw the miracles of God with his own eyes, was taught by Christ himself. Yet this very man was a tare amongst the wheat. But when the blade was sprung up, in verse 26 again, was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Master, sir,
Didst thou not sow good seed in the field, from whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Folks, we can't understand why our Lord allowed this man to be raised up with the wheat right there. But our God's ways are not our ways. If we continue or try to put our human logic to what God does, we will fail every time. He's the potter. We're the clay. It's as simple as that. You don't get any more plain than that. He said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. It's impossible for you and I to know the tares and who they are. Who would have thought that the thief on the cross was a child of God? Do you think he gave any indication to any of his loved ones, any of his family? He was stealing. Do you think he gave any indication to his family that he was a child of God? No. Yet in the very last moments of his life, God showed him that he was, didn't he? Here we see Judas of Iscariot living among the disciples. And yet it wasn't till the last moments of his life when his heart was revealed. They grow among us, even seem to thrive with us, spiritually that is. This is not to make us look at each other with suspicion, but rather with love. Love thy brother, is what our Lord says. Love is the fulfillment of the law. It's not our place. They asked him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay. God said, Nay. It is not our place to uproot them. It is God who gathers and God who separates. Who makes us to differ? Is it not God? Look at verses 28 through 30 again. He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant saith unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I, our Lord and Savior, God Almighty in the flesh, will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Let us do this. Let us continue to proclaim the gospel of Christ, and he will do the gathering. I ask you this in closing. Does he not do all things well? Amen.